There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And if you are a regular ticketer, you'll know that each fortnight, Angela Boshoff-Huntle from copywriting agency Scribe joins us to talk about a written word article that she's found a little bit of travel inspiration in.
Word travel.
Hello, Angela. Welcome back.
Hello. It feels like I haven't seen you for about 15,000 years.
And this is going to be our very last show together.
I know.
It's been
That's
2 years.
That's so sad. I know. It went so quickly. It's crazy. I'm glad you kept inviting me back, because it never happens for so long. So that's nice. Thanks.
Time to fill. What can I say?
Oh, great. Thanks, Steph.
Oh, you're kidding. So this week's inspiration comes from The Telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm partial to The Telegraph sometimes.
Mm-hmm. They have some good articles. I like them.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about train journeys around the world. Have you embarked on any memorable train journeys?
Not particularly long ones. There's a couple that kind of stick out on my mind, where I went to Sri Lanka and we did the train journey from Colombo to Kandy.
Always wanted to do that.
Remember how long it was, but we made the mistake of going on the weekend day where everyone kicks out of work and then takes the train. And it is literally like you see on the photos, people hanging six deep off the outside of the train. And there were no seats inside the train. So we ended up standing for like 3-4 hours to start off with until people gradually got off.
3 or 4 hours.
I know. But the highlight was people were going up and down the carriages with street food in the baskets, so you could just get really cheap little nibbles. But the weird thing was, as you went through the forest in the middle of the night, you just occasionally see weird eyes looking at you from outside. And it's like, stay in the train, don't go out for any reason. You know, it was a bit odd. Yeah.
And were there people still on the outside of the train through the night?
No. It gradually reduced.
Just
so that
say.
People could. By the time we got to Kandy, there was none of that. But when it left Colombo, literally six deep either side of the train, just hanging on, it was crazy.
Only time you should ever be hanging on outside is in a James Bond movie, I reckon.
That's not going to happen right now, anytime soon.
I always romanticised it in my head, train journeys. Like, I really wanted to do the Trans-Siberian Express.
Mm.
I was so excited about that. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. This is maybe a year and a half ago. It was January. Thought it'd be amazing to do it when it's really cold. I'm sure it's warm on the train. Anyway, when I looked into visas for all the countries you've got to get into, I was like, oh, this is way too hard.
Yeah.
So I thought, do you know what I'll do instead? I've already booked my tickets to Moscow. I thought, I'm going to catch the really old train. It's the oldest train journey from St. Petersburg to Moscow, and it goes overnight. You can either get a really fast train and do it in 2 hours, or you could get this train, which is beautiful. It's like red with yellow lines across the bottom. All of the women, who are the women who look after you when you get on the train, they all stand outside of their doorway to welcome you in their uniform with a little hat on. Like, it's really cool when you arrive. And this train actually has its own theme tune. Every time it leaves the station, they play this theme tune.
It's awesome.
It feels really important. It's been doing the same route since 1939, it only ever stopped during the war a few times. So we get on this train. I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. We've booked a luxury cabin. Anyway, in the nighttime, it was almost like the train driver had been incentivized to see how many people he could throw off the beds. Because I imagine that when you're sleeping on a train, you'd lie down and there'd be like this gentle rocking and you'd just feel like a baby and you'd be rocked to sleep. And I was like, oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited to go to bed. It's not. It's kind of like rock, 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 brakes, whoosh.
Did you have the seatbelt that you had to buckle yourself in
at
night?
Yeah, we did. That goes over the top of you, a bit like when you lie down on the plane.
Exactly.
But it still wakes you up, because it's like a jolt.
Or like an insane asylum. You see where I'm going with that? Yeah, I always go the wrong way with that.
And then the breakfast in the morning was really weird. It just looked like pieces of plastic that were different colours on a plate. And she like went, ah, that's the meat and that's the cheese. We're like, oh, this is the luxury breakfast, all right.
What?
And an apple in a plastic bag. So we didn't have the breakfast.
But here's the thing, you think with an overnight train journey, because I made the mistake of booking one of these in Malaysia because it was such a long distance to do the overnight. I thought, great, going to get some shut-eye on the train, it'll be fabulous. Buckle your seatbelt on your bunk and all the rest of it, because we booked the sleeper carriage. Couldn't get one wink of sleep, because as you say, it's literally side to side, jolting back and forth, and you literally feel like you're going to be thrown out of your bunk. It's horrible.
It's really hard. Have you done many train journeys, Angela?
I went on a sleeper train journey when I was a kid once, and it seemed amazing to me. My memories are really good, so maybe it's because I was a child, because your experiences sound horrible. And I remember one of my first stories from that train journey, which was very boring. It was like, I woke up and then ate some toast. It was like one of those. I was in grade two, to be fair. It wasn't like last week or anything. And then I did a Patagonia train ride, which was a couple of hours, and then Cairo to Alexandria, which is pretty cool, because you get to see a part of the country that you don't see when you're driving, right, on a train, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So that I really like. But no, I think I need to do more. Oh, I'm going to Italy in a week's time. We're going to do the train from Pisa to Rome, which should be quite fun.
There's only one train that I want to do. And when you sent me your list today, I sent you an email back and went, you have got to put this one on the list. Like, it's the most amazing one.
Missed that email. Hope you've got the list there.
I have. And you will have time to Google it. When we come back, we're going to share with you the best train experiences. And they're for all different kinds of budgets that you can do.
And each fortnight, Angela Boshoff-Hundle from copywriting agency Scribe joins us to talk about a written word article she's found travel inspiration in. Angela, you're going to talk to us about train journeys today.
Mm-hmm. And this one is one that Steph actually shared with me just before the show. It's called The Seven Stars in Kyushu. It's Kyushu is an island in Japan. And it's the first luxury sleeper train in Japan. It made its inaugural run in 2013. And basically how it works is you pay up front for your train journey, but then you go into a lottery and you might be chosen to then to go onto the train. If you aren't, you get your money back, don't worry, but it's like that luxurious. And they have seven sleeper cars, and one of the cabins, as far as I could see, costs about $11,500 for a luxury suite. So it's not exactly like your 25 dirham train journey, you know. It's super luxurious.
But I love this, because this is sort of money can't buy.
Yeah.
No. Even if you've got all the money in the world, you still go into that hat with everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's amazing.
But it's the only train journey I want to go on.
But I think what happens though, just popped into my head, if you really, really want to do it, but you keep getting bumped, if you keep entering, do they slowly move you up the list until you actually get there?
I don't think so. I think it's pure luck.
I also think it's pure luck.
The randomator.
The train randomator. Yeah, exactly. So you get two journeys. You get 4 days, 3 nights, and then 2 days and 1 night. And it's on this amazing island that looks very, very beautiful. Kyushu, Kyushu in Japan. So yeah, Steph's doing that one then.
Coolest train in the world. Yeah, don't even bother entering.
Fine.
You'll ruin me odds, guys. But you found some more affordable trips, I would say, that are really good to take by train. Where should we start?
Yeah, so we'll start in Switzerland. This isn't an overnight train, but it's called the Swiss funicular. Some people say Schweiss. So it's quite unusual for a funicular to replace a cable car. A funicular, if you don't know what it is, it's like a really steep railway up a mountain that gets pulled by a cable. So one train goes up, one goes down, and then it kind of pulls you up.
It's terrifying. They're so steep.
They're amazing. I like them.
Yeah, I also like them, but they are scary. I'm a bit of a scaredy cat, I must say. So this one is the steepest one in the world. It has a gradient of 110% if you're an engineer listening. Basically, it's super steep. And it even has a tunnel in it, which crosses over a public swimming pool. But it's the funicular cars that are really amazing. They look super futuristic, and each one consists of four large windows, cylindrical compartments, and they rotate so that the 34 passengers are always on a horizontal seat or floor.
Wow.
It's really cool. You should Google it. It's amazing. It looks really cool.
The Swiss have got something about this rotating lot, because I went to Switzerland recently skiing, and I was on one of the biggest cable cars that they had on a mountain there, and that rotated 360 degrees as you were going up on the cable car.
Wait, hold on. Just explain that again. So you're in,
you're in this massive cable car, which is round. Yeah. Everybody gets in. I think you get about 50 people in there. And then it just turns 360 degrees as it's going up to the top.
They have pretty good views. That's probably why they're like, we have to rotate.
Let's rotate everything. And this is pretty cheap.
86 dirhams return.
You got to get to Switzerland.
Yeah, I got to get to Switzerland for that one. Yeah, so that's a very reasonable one. There's one, though, that you may have been interested in, Steph.
What's
Trans-Siberian
that?
BAM Explorer.
Yeah, I think I'm out.
Yeah?
Tell me more. Maybe I'm back in.
This is Moscow to Russia's Far East, okay? And it was called the construction project of the century. So this, the main line, runs 4,345 kilometers north of the Trans-Siberian Railway across Russia's Far East. And it's made up of a network of railways, basically. So through the White Nights of July, the luxury train operator Golden Eagle operates a one-off 15-night voyage from Vladivostok to Siberia. It also goes into Mongolia and then to Ulaanbaatar's Nadam Festival, which is basically a really raucous fiesta of archery and wrestling and ankle bone shooting, if you're into that.
There's been documentaries on this, on the wrestling there.
Oh, really? Is it what? Is it quite interesting?
It looks awesome.
So this, you're going to be going in a Soviet-era steam locomotive, and it'll also haul carriages around Lake Baikal. And this is an all-inclusive 15-night trip from Golden Eagle. It departs on June 29th, so you still have some time, but you will have to pay 330,000 dirhams ahead.
And you'll have to go now if you want to see Lake Baikal the way it is, because they've got huge plans for it, haven't they? It's the deepest lake in the world.
Yeah.
And they're planning like so much tourism and hotels all around it.
So basically, just take out your savings. Don't do that. I'm joking.
Sell everything.
Disclaimer, do not take out your savings for that train trip. We're going to go a little bit less expensive now to Malaysia. You went on a train in Malaysia.
I did, my rocking and rolling overnight trip across Malaysia.
So this one is 480 kilometers. It's called the Jungle Train, and it was built by the British to harvest Malaysia's tin, rubber and tea. And it still goes through defunct mines and rubber estates and vast tea plantations, which is very beautiful. There's no dining car, but you do get to eat some of the local food. And the Rural Lifeline also transports dried fish, aubergine, tea and peppers, plus the nation's mail. So you'll be doing a little bit of post there. The only remaining jungle section is in the north, though. There's some serious cliffs and beautiful rivers there. By night, the 12-hour journey is really magical, apparently, unless you're getting thrown off your bunk. There's a communal sleeping car that apparently has comfy curtained-off bunks bolted to the wall, but now I'm not so sure.
No, thank
after
you.
After your story.
I don't do communal sleeping.
Yeah, I don't really do communal. Well, I think this is good if you're like 20. I'd do it then. Yeah.
Nah, not even then.
To be fair, it was a very weird experience where we had to like tie our rucksacks like to the inside of us because there's a lot of thieving goes on, unfortunately.
Can imagine.
You're bustled in, and then you do have your curtains. And if you're on the top bunk, which I was, it's very back and forth. Not fun, to be honest.
Angela just gave me a look there when I said I don't do communal sleeping that said, all right, loser.
No, the look I gave you was, I'm pretty sure you would have done communal sleeping.
Never.
Really?
I don't like it.
You seem like such an adventurer to me. That's why I was like, really?
Nah, no way.
Good to know. I'll put that down on my list.
Last time I did communal sleeping, I think, was at Holy Island with the school. And even then it was getting a bit much and I was only 9. Like, get me out of this room.
I can just tell what kind of child you may have been like, take me away from these people.
Vandana has been on 4001, says there is what they call a toy train from Simla in northern India to the foothills. We could get off, we could have a nosy around the little villages, we could hop right back on. They were slow and they were really so much fun. I really like that idea, being able to get off the train and then get back on, but I hate the idea of missing it.
Oh, haven't you missed a train? Don't you have a missed train story? Yeah, you do.
In England, we jumped off to get a coffee. The train left. It cost £150 to get back on the next one. It was the most expensive coffee that we've ever bought.
Not good.
Where's next?
Next, we're going to go. This one's for you, Steph. You might be able to do this. Lochs. It's called the Lochs Journey in England and Scotland. So this has got some of the most stunning landscapes in Britain. It's a 7-night cross-border lakes and lochs by train trip from McKinley Kidd, who was voted the best specialist tour operator in the 2017 Telegraph Travel Awards. This is coming from the Telegraph. And it takes in both England and Scotland, starting with 3 nights in the Lake District at a hotel on the shores of Ullswater with a cruise, so that's quite cool, before heading north for 2 nights in the Highland town of Pitlochry.
I went to a wedding there last year.
Oh, really?
Awesome little
village. Is it beautiful?
Oh. So stunning. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you also get a private tour of Perthshire. Did you go to Perthshire?
Yes, been in Perthshire too. It's also gorgeous.
So finally, the main line goes through the heart of the Highlands to Inverness for a 2-night stay overlooking Loch Ness with a lake cruise to see if you spot Nessie.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I think Nessie's gone now. Before heading back south to Edinburgh or Glasgow. And this one, it's not cheap, but it's not expensive. It's 7,500 dirhams per person, 2 sharing, for 7 nights, including train travel, B&B accommodation and transfers. I'd pay that.
That's not bad.
No, it's not too bad. You say that Nessie is gone now. However, I heard a guy on British radio the other day who every single morning gets up at 5 a.m. to go and watch for Nessie. that's his like job.
I thought you were going to say he sees Nessie every morning. I was like, oh, I was a bit of an anticlimactic.
No, he takes his dog, but he's given up work because he's so sure that Nessie's definitely there. Every single day he sits out there just waiting if he can see.
There's now a professor from New Zealand as well who's taken a team over there, and they're taking loads of DNA samples so they can test for what species actually live in the loch.
Stranger
things
have happened.
In the hope of trying to find Nessie.
I think she's a dinosaur, or he, that like lived long for, I don't know, forever.
I think that's far-fetched.
What
do we know how long dinosaurs used to live?
No.
Did they have like
I don't know.
65?
88 before you retire, dinosaur retirement, who knows?
I've never looked into that.
Me neither.
Okay, if anyone knows that, how long did dinosaurs live if they died of natural causes? We'd really like to know that.
Any particular species, Steph?
Because then we can rule out Angela's theory of whether Loch Ness monster is actually a dinosaur or not.
Species in water, that's very important.
Tell me about your India train that you've got on the list.
My India train that I've got on the list. Let me find it on my list. Mumbai to Goa.
This is the one I'd like to do. I've never been to India.
Yeah, so this one, I love the name. Ganpati Special. And there's another one, the Mangalore Express. I just love it. It sounds so like, what was that movie? The Exotic Marigold Hotel. Like, you're going to have that kind of life-changing experience. So a dozen daily trains leave with those exotic names from Mumbai for Madgaon and Goa. That's about 12 hours down the line. If you want to see the views, you should take the morning Mandovi Express. After an hour of Mumbai suburbs, it goes through some tunnels and then steamy forest before reaching the nodding palms of Goa, which I've never been to Goa. Have you been to Goa?
I haven't been to India. I really regret it. It's one of those places where it's so close to Dubai that I always said to myself, I'll go another time because it's just there. And then never did.
I know. I've never been either. I've been to India, but not Goa. The most popular night train is the Konkan Kanya Express, equally exotic named. This has got air-conditioned first-class sleepers, two or four both, with five durum curries delivered to your compartment. Although I would be careful, guys. I would be a little bit careful. Luxury sleepers are around 150 dirhams. And they also accept foreign credit cards now. So if you forgot your rupees at home, you can pay with cards. I wanted to do a night train and I'm terrified after what you guys have told me. I also have a three-year-old, so I'll probably have to wait a few years.
No, you could just do a one night train. I think it's just if you're on a long trip, it would get a little bit tiring. I think it's really novel doing it overnight. I did enjoy it. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
Although I really like catching trains during the day just because the views can be so spectacular.
I know.
Of people say, oh, it's a waste of time sitting on a train. But I think if you can see out the window and just all of the amazing scenery coming in.
For me, that's the whole thing. I think about a train journey is seeing what you wouldn't see otherwise, like on a highway.
And at night time, you get none of that.
No, you don't. And you also don't get really that like lovely rocking to sleep motion.
Angela, I can't believe time has run out.
I know, that was so quick.
It's really fast. Thank you so much for everything you've done on the ticket over the last 2 years.
Thank you. I'm so sad it's the last time that we're going to be doing this together.
You never know what Mark will do after the summer, after he's done his project, Sounds of the Summer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to come back with after that, so we'll have to wait and see.
Very exciting.
See you later, Angela.
See you later.
Word Travel.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.